Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Start spreading the news. There is good news coming out of New York from the U.S. Supreme Court. We're going to be talking about this case on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me here is Holly Mead to discuss this incredible change at the U.S. Supreme Court. And this really is indicative of the impact that one justice on the Supreme Court can have, because Amy Coney Barrett replaced Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And now what we have is a 5-4 decision from the U.S. Supreme Court in favor of churches and synagogues in New York against these restrictions of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo with regards to these COVID discriminatory restrictions that he places on places of worship. So this is a great development, Holly.
Oh, this is huge. In fact, just before midnight, before Thanksgiving, the Supreme Court ruled that Governor Cuomo's very severe, and they use that term, very severe limitations on church attendance in the state's COVID red and orange zones violate the First Amendment right to free exercise of religion and are not the least restrictive means of preventing infections. That is a huge statement right there.
It's a huge statement.
It's what we've been saying all along.
It's what we've been saying all along. And in fact, Justice Gorsuch, in a concurring opinion, ultimately said that it is time, it is past time. Mm. That the court intervened and protected the First Amendment and recognized that it actually applies and stopped these restrictions on churches. This decision is good in so many different ways because the restrictions actually capped attendance to 10 to 25 people in different zones. Now, by the time the Supreme Court reviewed this matter, the churches and the synagogues were not in those severe limited areas of attendance cap. So the question was, in part, is this case moot? Does it apply to them since they made an allegation, but it doesn't necessarily apply to them right now? And I'm very happy with how the court responded to that. It's what we've been saying. Look, this has been going on long enough. There is no reason for the Supreme Court to wait on this, because these restrictions come and go. And these governors can just simply change the restrictions to moot out a case at the U.S. Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court was not at all intimidated or hindered by the fact that the restrictions had moved. Now, we have a case we'll talk about in the future, mm-hmm. also at the Supreme Court, that has worse restrictions than even what they were reviewing in New York.
Yeah, as part of the court's opinion, they said, not only is there no evidence that the applicants have contributed to the spread of COVID-19, but there are many other less restrictive rules that could be adopted to minimize the risk to those attending religious services. Even in a pandemic, the Constitution cannot be put away and forgotten. But I just want to frame that statement. Even in a pandemic, the Constitution cannot be put away and forgotten.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is very good news here. Justice Neil Gorsuch also pointed out in his concurring opinion, he says, the only explanation for treating religious places differently seems to be a judgment that what happens there just isn't as essential as what happens in secular spaces. Indeed, the governor is remarkably frank about this. In his judgment, laundry and liquor, travel and tools are all essential, while traditional religious exercises are not. That is exactly the kind of discrimination the First Amendment forbids. I mean, that's exactly what we have been saying all along throughout these cases. This, Holly, will have a significant impact on all of our church litigation around the country.
You know, this is fabulous. I mean, there are Catholic churches and synagogues that brought this lawsuit before the court on behalf of these churches. But this affects all churches in New York. And as you said, this will have a great impact on churches throughout the nation.
Here's that actual statement that I was referring to from again, Justice Gorsuch, he says, it's time, past time, to make plain that while the pandemic poses many grave challenges, there is no world in which the Constitution tolerates color-coded executive edicts that reopen liquor stores and bike shops, but shutter churches, synagogues, and mosques. I mean, that is a great quote. And again, it is nice to see what we have been arguing from the very beginning.
Absolutely. You know, and Justice Kavanaugh said, the New York restrictions on houses of worship are not tailored to the circumstances given the First Amendment interest at stake. To reiterate, New York's restrictions on houses of worship are much more severe than the California and Nevada restrictions at issue in South Bay and Calvary, which are other cases that they dealt with, and much more severe than the restrictions that most other states are imposing. I mean, this is really powerful, these statements that they're giving. And, you know, I think about it, it's really sad in one response that that there is a 5-4, that there are four justices that don't see the importance of churches having worship. But we praise God, as you said, for Amy Coney Barrett, that enabled this to be a 5-4 decision.
Yeah, otherwise it would have been a 5-4 the other way.
Exactly.
Denial again. And, you know, here they refer to a South Bay decision that came out of California some time
right.
ago. But since then, the restrictions in California have been much worse.
Yeah, he's come out with his blueprint. And
the blueprint, and that blueprint has four tiers in California. And in tier one, it's no worship. So it's not 10 or 25 people. It's zero. So if you have one person or two people in a sanctuary, doesn't matter how big, could be 1,000 seats, could be 5,000 seats. In California, it's criminal. And we'll talk about that in terms of our case on another episode of Faith and Freedom. But this is a great decision. You know, even the Chief Justice, he has been in the dissent in this particular case. He was previously in a 5-4 majority in the previous South Bay case, and also the one that came out of Nevada, in which the decision was to deny the injunction pending appeal. Now, this is not a full-blown ruling on the merits. It's an injunction while the case is pending the appeal process in the lower courts and then eventually also in the U.S. Supreme Court.
So they can continue to meet until the case is solved.
It gives them the right to meet while the case is going on. But it also, by the way, Holly, it telegraphs very, very clearly where the majority of the justices are on these issues. It's very exciting. And so,
but it should be. I mean, we're talking about the First Amendment. This is not a whether you like church or not, but this is according to the First Amendment.
Exactly.
We have the right to worship.
Exactly. Now, even the Chief Justice actually said that, yeah, these restrictions are pretty severe and they likely do violate the First Amendment, he said. But he said, because the code was changed and they're no longer in those zones, let's just wait. And that's what the other majority of the five justices, no, it's past time from waiting. So in our case, that's up there before the U.S. Supreme Court, it has even worse restrictions because it's zero, zero worship. And we have a letter from the Pasadena prosecutor to Harvest Rock Church threatening daily criminal charges and fines against the church, the pastor, the staff, and the parishioners, unbelievably.
Yeah. But, you know, I commend these Catholic churches and these synagogues in New York for standing up. You know, it's time. These churches need to stand up for their right to worship. And no government official can stop them from doing that.
No. And, in fact, you know, go all the way back to 1947 when the Supreme Court decided the case of Everson versus Board of Education. It was on the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment as opposed to the Free Exercise Clause. But that particular decision was very clear as well. It says that the Establishment Clause means at least this. And then it ticked off several things that it means. And one of those sentences, one of the things that it means at a minimum is that neither the state nor the federal government may force a person to attend church or stay away from church against their will. Now, if a government wanted to force someone to attend church or to stay away from church, the Supreme Court's already ruled long ago. That clearly violates the Establishment Clause. The government cannot force someone to attend church, cannot force someone to stay away from church against their will.
Absolutely.
That's what the founders came here for. That's what the pilgrims came here. That's what all of these people came here for, is a beachhead for religious freedom. We don't want the government micromanaging worship. That's exactly what's been happening with these draconian executive orders on COVID. This is a great decision. Continue to pray for our cases. You can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. lc.org. Sign up for our emails. We'll keep you involved in all these breaking issues from the emails. lc.org. Hit the subscribe button.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776.